chapter 4. And once you get that, also get Mark chapter 1. 1 Timothy 4 and Mark chapter 1. We'll be starting in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And then we'll go to Mark chapter 1 after that. 1 Timothy 4, Mark chapter 1. While you're turning there, don't forget that the pastor's class is going to start again this Saturday at 11 o'clock. So if you'd like to come to that, we'll have the food there at lunch during that. And we'll do it until the weather says otherwise. Amen. And so we'll get, yes.
Set the clocks ahead this weekend.
Yes, got to set the clocks ahead this weekend too, Sunday. We got to set it.
Fall back.
Got to set it backwards. And it's a time of year that we all enjoy because you get an extra hour of sleep. So, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and Mark chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 4, look if you would, starting at verse 1. Paul's writing to Timothy, and he says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving." Now, here in the Scriptures, it declares to us that in the latter times, or last days, that there's going to be an increase in the work of unclean spirits. Notice there that it says that giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And what that's going to do, it's going to bring more spiritual deception. People are going to believe things other than the truth. In fact, if you look at some of the things that's mentioned there that people are going to believe, you probably know a lot of people that believe those very things today, saying that we must abstain from meats. But notice there, there in verse 3, at the end of it, it says, which God hath created be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Now, what does that mean? Well, if you're not a believer, you know, the fact that you're a believer today, that we're not under the law anymore. Amen? And if we're not under the law anymore, that means we can eat anything we want to as long as we pray over meals. Now, if you want to know exactly where it's found that we need to pray over meals, it's right here. Okay? But what that's saying is today you can have a ham sandwich, you can have a piece of bacon, you can have those things. Now, there are some things on there that I would not eat that's mentioned in the Old Testament, but not because I can't, because of the law. It's just some of the stuff is gross. But you know, the thing about it is we can eat it because as long as we're thankful for it, okay? And we need to be always thankful for everything that we eat. But certainly there are people today that are saying that we should abstain from meats, saying that we should be vegetarians, that we need to stay away from certain meats, don't eat, certain meats on Friday, saying that certain people shouldn't marry. We all know people that believe that way today. And it says here that that's doctrines of devils. Doctrines of devils. And so because of our spiritual deception, there's people believing all sorts of things. Now, if you'll notice in the Old Testament, when it, here it's talking about seducing spirits and doctrines of devil, obviously these are not good spirits. These would be unclean spirits. And in the Old Testament, there is not a lot of mention about unclean spirits. There is some, but once Jesus shows up, notice there's a great increase in how many unclean spirits there seems to be. Now, it could have been that many before, but when he shows up, it seems like there's a whole lot. In fact, you constantly read where Jesus is casting out devils and where people are vexed with unclean spirits. You say, what is an unclean spirit? Well, I'm not going to go into it too deep tonight, but an unclean spirit in the Bible is a devil. You say, what's a devil? Well, that's even more of a study, okay? You say, what's a demon? The word demon is not found in your King James Bible. How many of you understand that? A lot of people talk about demons. That's not in your Bible. But devils are. Unclean spirits are. And you say, what are unclean spirits? They're devils, okay? And you do see where Jesus is casting out devils and where people are vexed with unclean spirits. Now turn, if you would, over to Mark chapter 1. And I just want to show you exactly what I'm talking about here, that it seems that there was an increase in activity once Jesus shows up. Mark chapter 1, look at verse 23. It says, there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone, what have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who art, thou art the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. All right, now drop down to verse 33. It says, and all the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And then it dropped down at verse 38. It says, and he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore I came forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. So there, right there in Mark chapter 1, three different times it's talking about he's going around and these unclean spirits and he's casting out devils. And you read a lot about that in the Gospels. And really, technically, we all know that's still Old Testament, but it's Old Testament once Jesus shows up. And it seems like that he's really doing that a lot. And so you'll notice that when you read closely, that whenever Jesus shows up here in the first Advent, when he comes the first time, he's casting out, there seems to be an increase of activity. But then also, if you read when he comes back the second time, you know what the world's going to be like then? It's going to be very demonic when he comes back. Now, once he sets up his kingdom, it's going to be different. But it seems to, that pattern seems to be the same. Also, whenever you're reading your Bible, you need to pay attention to the timing of when these seducing spirits show up. Because every time that Jesus Christ or the scriptures are about to be magnified, in any way, it seems like, the unclean spirits immediately show up. Okay? Now, I'll give you an example. In Matthew chapter 3, remember when Jesus was baptized. You say, well, why did Jesus get baptized? He got baptized to fulfill all righteousness. That's what he said. Okay? You know, for those people that believe that baptism washes away your sins, Jesus Christ never sinned. So, I mean, that just, we know that that's not true. Okay? He got baptized to fulfill all righteousness because God said it was the righteous thing to do. And so he got baptized. But after he got baptized, we know that the Father's voice came down, and the Father's voice said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Right? Jesus is getting the glory. You know what happens immediately after that? Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, then was Jesus led by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Yeah. Immediately. All right, now turn if you would over to Matthew chapter 9. I'll show you some more. Matthew chapter 9. Any time that the Lord is being glorified, the devil can't stand it. And he's going to attack. If this church continues to glorify God, the devil's going to attack this church. That's just the way it is. If you seek to glorify God in your family, the devil's going to attack. You say, well, then I shouldn't seek to glorify God. Oh, yes, you should. You should. Okay? But the devil's going to attack. And especially if Jesus Christ or the Word of God is being magnified in any way. All right, in Matthew chapter 9, notice in verses 1 and 2 that the Lord forgives a man of his sins. It says, and he entered into a ship, passed over, and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Question, who is it that can forgive sins? Only God can forgive sins. So when Jesus forgave a person of his sins, he was, in a sense, showing everybody he's God, because only God can forgive people their sins, all right? So he forgives people their sins. Obviously, he's being glorified as God the second he does that. Now, look what happens in the very next verse. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. You say, well, wait a second now. That's not unclean spirits. That's a man saying that. That Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Who was it behind that man saying that the Lord blasphemeth? Absolutely. The devil is behind it. Okay? So again, he gets glorified. Devil shows up immediately. All right? All right. Look, if you would, drop down to verse 32 here in Matthew chapter 9. It's always when Jesus and the scriptures are being magnified. All right, verse 32. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. So now here, Jesus is getting the glory again. He just now cast out a devil. He does a great miracle. The people are glorifying him for it. But look what happens immediately in the next verse. But the Pharisees said he cast out devils through the prince of the devils. Again, the unclean spirit, the devil show up. All right, now turn, if you will, to chapter 16. Chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And look at verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do you men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound. Thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged the disciples they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again on the third day. So here Jesus is proclaiming to Peter that he's the Son of God. Jesus speaks to, about himself being the rock of the church that was built, the rock the church is built on. Jesus talks about how many is going to be saved, how he would be killed and how he would be buried. And one day, on the third day, he would arise from the grave. And he's talking about the good news of the gospel there. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, he's saying that I'm going to build this church. And he's saying, you know, whom do men say that I am? And they said, well, you know, some say you're this person or that, some say you're that person. And he looks at Peter and goes, whom say ye that I am? And Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Is he being glorified here? He's absolutely being glorified. Absolutely. But look who shows up. Look at verse 22. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. So immediately, when he's being glorified, the devil shows up again. Every single time that you do anything to glorify the Lord, expect the devil to attack. If your family glorifies God, if his church glorifies God, anybody that glorifies God, the devil does not like it, and he's not going to stop. I'll tell you something. If you think about it, if the devil's not attacking you, you might want to wonder what's going on sometimes. Amen?
Yeah.
I mean, if the devil never attacks, first thing I would do is I would take a hard look and see exactly what we're doing. Are we glorifying the Lord? Are we glorifying the Word of God? I've heard preachers tell me many times whenever I'd be going through something or the church be going through something and they'd say, well, boy, you must be seriously glorifying God over there for something like that to be happening because the devil's attacking. Amen. And so every single time that the Lord is glorified in any way, the devil is going to show up. Now, many get the idea that only in places like Africa or third world countries are there unclean spirits. Sometimes even Christians here, they think that, you know, devils and things like that only happens in other countries, never here. How many believe that there are still unclean spirits and devils upon this earth today? Listen, you can't watch the news without thinking that. Amen? I mean, you see some of the wickedness that's going on in this world, and you see some of the atrocities that's going on. Now, listen, I know that man's heart's bad. I know it is. But if you think about things, and I sometimes think about things like Adolf Hitler, killing 6 million Jews. Now you could say that his heart was what made him do that, possibly. But would you agree that it could be the devil behind that too? Amen?
Yeah.
I mean, for us to think that the only time that there were unclean spirits is only when Jesus was on the earth, I think that's a ridiculous thing because it was, number one, it was in the Old Testament before Jesus showed up. It was certainly an increase when Jesus showed up. And there's no doubt there are unclean spirits today. And so, you know, and some people think that unclean spirits are always equated with, you know, people foaming the mouth or screaming or tearing things up, or even the way it was with the madman of Gadara. I mean, people think that that's always the way it is with unclean spirits. But that's not the way it was when he turned and looked at Peter and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." I mean, he wasn't sitting over there tearing anything up. He wasn't throwing himself into the fire. He wasn't doing those things. He was just standing right there. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? What I'm saying is this, is a person doesn't have to necessarily be flopping around and foam coming out of his mouth for him to be, you know, affected by an unclean spirit. He could be sitting there smiling at you with a spiritual look on his face. Amen? That Bible says the devil is more subtle than any creature. And he knows what he's doing. And if he's always showed up, listen, if he always showed up with horns and a pitchfork, nobody'd ever listen to him.
Exactly.
So what does he do? Sometimes he disguises himself. Now, that's the reason we're told in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walk about seeking whom he may devour. We gotta be vigilant. And we need to understand that today there are people that the devil uses. As Christians, we're told that we are not only to be vigilant for the devil, but we are also to try the spirits. Turn, if you would, over to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, we are to try the spirits. And we know that the Bible talks about unclean spirits and clean spirits, and talks about the spirit of error, the spirit of truth. And we are to try those spirits. Why? Because the devil's walking about to see who he can devour. We've got to test things. We've got to see if what people are saying, is that controlled by the devil, or is that controlled by the Holy Spirit of God? We've got to be able to discern these things. Why? Because there are people out there telling you things and they're smiling. Hey, listen, when the Jehovah's Witnesses come around the door, I don't want to step on them. I don't like naming names if there's people in here, but if the Jehovah's Witnesses come knocking at your door, you know, overall they seem pretty nice, don't they? Sweet people. But they're telling you doctrines of devils.
Yeah.
You see? And so we've got to be able to discern the spirit. Why? Because if you can't discern between the spirits, you're going to get messed up. Yeah. You're going to be deceived. How do you think that there are, listen, I've heard that there are, you know, some Baptists that went over and became Church of Christ of Latter-day Saints. I don't know. Maybe they were baby Christians. Maybe they weren't saved at all. I don't know. Maybe they don't read their Bible, but I do know this. They're deceived. All right? And that's what the devil's very good at, is deceiving people. And so we are to discern the spirits. In 1 John chapter 4, look at verse 1. It says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." So we're supposed to number one, not believe every spirit. What does that mean? That means don't believe everything you hear. Just because somebody tells you something doesn't mean it's true. Listen, whether it's me, whether it's a friend, if they say, well, you know, the Bible says, find out if the Bible says it. I mean, people all the time, they'll say, well, this is what the Bible teaches. This is what the Bible says. No, find out that's true. Why? Because this is truth. How can you discern between the spirits? By the Word of God. Why? The Word of God will never lie to you.
That's right.
It is truth. All right? And so if you're looking, you're saying to yourself, okay, I want to find out if what this person is telling me, is it from the spirit of truth or the spirit of error? Why wouldn't you go to truth to find out if it's the spirit of truth or not? If it doesn't line up with that Bible, it is the spirit of error. The end. Amen? That's how we discern between the spirits. Now, there are people today that say, well, I don't think you should judge. It's telling you right there to judge between the spirits, whether they be of God or not of God. And so we are to test the spirits and try the spirits to see what type of spirit is there. And certainly there are people today that don't try the spirits. Many Christians, they don't take the time to discern the spirits like we're told to, and therefore they are unable to recognize the works of the devil. And because of that, many Christians today blindly follow his lead. There are many Christians today that are deceived because they won't go to the truth, they won't read their Bible and see what the Bible says. Okay? They just won't. You know, I was talking to somebody here about a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about how we were witnessing, or he was witnessing, to a person that wasn't right on salvation or something. I don't know what the type of person he was witnessing to. But he made the comment to him. He goes, you know, I showed them right there in Scripture where they were wrong. And the guy says, well, you just believe what you want to believe and I'll believe what I want to believe. You see the problem there? They did not choose to go with the truth. They choose to go with error. That's the spirit of error. Okay? And you're going to find that many times when you're witnessing to people that, I will tell you that those that profess to be Christians are the hardest ones to get a hold of because they are just as sincere in what they believe as you are.
Right.
The difference is they don't hold that book, that Bible, as being their final authority.
Yeah.
They hold people like, whoever started their cult as their final authority. All right? And so that's the problem. And really, that's in any of the different professing Christian organizations that you find that aren't truly Christian, they're all that way. The Bible is never their final authority. You say, how do we know we're right? Because the Bible's our final authority. If the Bible's not your final authority, you need to check yourself. You need to make sure it is. Because if it's not your final authority and it's the teaching of some other person, that some other person is a sinner. Amen?
That,
in other words, that some other person could be, he can be deceived. He can be deceived on anything. I'm not saying that the person you listen to, hey, we've all got our favorite preachers. I've got my favorite preacher. My favorite preacher is one of the best illustrators in the world. I'm not going to tell you who it is. If you want to find out who it is, I'll talk to you after the service. But listen, he teaches. I love to hear him preach. But when he tells me, when he starts to preach something, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to turn to the Bible and make sure he's right. Why? Because he's human. And he could be deceived. But that Bible is absolute truth. So how do we test the spirits? Through the Word of God. But there are people today who aren't doing that, and there are some people today these spirits are controlling them. And remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. So there are people today that are deceived, and the devil's using them. The devil's using them to split churches, to cause problems, to do all sorts of things. And so we need to make sure that we're testing the spirit. Now, the great debate amongst Christians today, even amongst Baptists, believe it or not, is this. Can a born-again believer be possessed by a devil? That is the great debate. Now, I will tell you my opinion on that is I do not believe that. I do not believe that a born-again believer can be possessed by a devil. And the reason why I say that is because 1 John 4:4 says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome him, or overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." As a believer, you have the Holy Spirit of God in you right now.
That's right.
And if he's in you right now, I don't think there's room for the devil. Amen? I'll say that, but at the same time, I do believe that Scripture makes it clear that even though you can't be possessed by a devil if you're saved, you can be controlled by one. And I do believe that. Why? Again, that passage says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Listen, there are born-again Christians. Now, I will tell you this. If we were all honest, and here tonight, which I know we are because I can look at your faces, but if we're all honest in here tonight, I'll bet you every one of us can think of a time that the devil used us to do something for him. Every one of us. Whether it was you said something that you shouldn't have said that hurt somebody's feelings, or you did something to get back at somebody. Mm-hmm. See, we've all been used by the devil. Now, that doesn't mean you were possessed by the devil, but it certainly means you were used by him. Amen? We all have been. And so that's the answer to that. So the devil can use people, and he can use me, and he can use you. That's the reason we need to be careful. We need to be careful. We need to make sure we test the spirits. We need to make sure that we stay close to the Lord and stay in fellowship with him. And certainly, we don't want to be the one that the devil uses. Okay. In fact, I will tell you this. The devil's been using Christians for a long time. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15, it says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also transform as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. What that's saying is this, is the devil uses people. The devil uses people. And a lot of times the devil will make it look like that minister is preaching the truth. Maybe he'll be a very good speaker where he uses long words and he seems to be a nice guy and he combs his hair just right. But he's wicked on the inside. The devil's using him. Okay? We need to make sure that we're testing spirits. That's the reason when a preacher says, open your Bibles and look here, you need to open your Bibles and look there. And when a preacher says, it says this in the Bible, see if it says that in the Bible. Because the devil can use anybody, folks. And like we've all admitted, we've all been used before. And so many Bible-believing Christians today, they spend so little time in the scriptures that they're fooled by counterfeit spirits all the time. And in these last days, there's a great need for Christians to have their spiritual senses exercised by reason of use in order to discern between that which is good and that which is evil. As Christians, we ought to be on guard against the devil. We're to make sure the devil doesn't use us to do his will, and we're to recognize that we're in a battle. Every one of us are. And this spiritual battle rages on every single day. And we need to avoid being used by unclean spirits and be able to discern between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And in certain things that stand right out in the open, I mean, obviously, the Holy Spirit leads a man to control himself. Amen? Listen, if you can't control your tongue, that's not the Holy Spirit of God doing that. That's the spirit of error doing that. Why? Holy Spirit of God leads us to control our tongue. If you don't believe it, read right there in the book of James. It tells you about it. That's what the Holy Spirit of God does. So if a person is all of a sudden he's just mouthing off and he's saying things and he's cussing and he's doing all these things, that's pretty obvious. That's not the spirit of truth. That's the spirit of error. Amen? That's not good spirit. That's bad spirit. And so that's certainly one. Not only that, but the Holy Spirit also leads a man to control his thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit teaches. He also leads a man to control what he listens to. Proverbs 17:4, a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. A fellow, you know, somebody says, well, he's the one over there telling the dirty joke. Are you listening to it? You listening to it and laughing? Hey, listen, if you're listening to it, you know what that Bible's saying? Something wrong with the spirit in you too, according to your Bible. Not only that, but the Bible also, or the Holy Spirit also, leads us to control what we watch. Psalm 101:3 says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. And we're talking about, you know, testing the spirits here. Are they spirit of truth or the spirit of error? He leads a man to be mindful in what he says. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Proverbs 10:20, the tongue of the just is as choice silver, the heart of the wicked is of little worth. And the work of the Holy Spirit is geared to eternity, while unclean spirit is always geared to the temporal things, the temporary things. The work of the Holy Spirit will try a man and make him something for the long haul, to try him in order to build up his faith and to show him where he is. But the spirit of error will tempt a man to try to get him to sin. Right spirit breaks the old man, whereas the wrong spirit builds up the old man. 1 John 4. There, I don't know if I told you to turn to 1 John 4. Or maybe it was the last place I told you, but if you're not there, turn to 1 John 4. Because in 1 John 4 is where we're told to believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. It's right there in chapter 4, verse 1. In other words, we are to test them. We are to test everything we see, test everything we do, test everything we read, test everything we hear, and ask ourselves, is this the spirit of truth, is the spirit of error? Test the spirits, try the spirits, see if they're of God or not. We're to perform a test on them to see what type of spirit we're dealing with. And then the rest of the verses we're giving here, we're given some very clear ways of testing the spirits. Listen, it's not, one thing about the Bible's not going to tell you to test the spirits and try the spirits and then not tell you how to do it. Amen? It's going to tell you exactly how to test them. So they're here in 1 John. He basically gives us a spiritual discernment test. In other words, how are we to test between the that which the spirit that is of God, or whether that spirit is of the devil, whether that spirit is a spirit of truth or the spirit of error? How are we to test these things? Well, what we do is we follow 1 John 4 here, and we run it through some these tests. Now, I will tell you this. Now, listen, this right here is telling you basically how to test the spirits. It's not necessarily testing whether a person is saved or not, but it is testing the spirits. Now, you say, well, what are you talking about? Well, the first one, the first discernment test here is the confession test. The confession test. Look at 1 John chapter 4, look at verse 2. It says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Now remember, it told you right there in verse 1, it says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. All right, verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. There's your first test right there. He says, do you want to see if that spirit is of God or not of God? If that spirit confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, then it is of God. Does it make sense if it does not confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh or refuses to, that it's not of God? Amen? So that is your first test. And so the Spirit of God can, listen, a person today that is operating with the Spirit of God will have no problems at all confessing that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. None. And you say, what's that talking about? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God? Yes, amen, I do too. But what is it saying here? It's saying that the spirit of error won't be able to say that. Spirit of error won't be able to confess that. But the spirit of truth will. So are you saying, Pastor, if a person comes up and says, I don't believe that Jesus Christ is God, do you think that person's saved or unsaved? I don't know if they're saved or unsaved, but I can tell you they're speaking from the spirit of error. I can tell you that for sure. Why? Not confessing that Jesus Christ is God. Now, I will tell you this. I don't see how a person can be saved and not believe that Jesus Christ is God. Because if he's not God, we've got a big problem. Amen? If he's not God, his death didn't mean a whole lot at all. But if he is God, which he is, it's everything. He's our way to salvation. Amen? And so you say, well, I don't know if that's a good test or not. I'll tell you a little story. Some of you already know the story. It was probably back in 2002, I guess. I was a preacher boy. And I was in charge of locking up the church and turning off the lights and things like that, and on Sundays. And then I would unlock the church and make sure the heater was on and everything a couple hours before the church service. And of course, I also got called in if somebody broke into the church and all these things too. But I remember one time it was right after a Sunday worship service. I was locking up the church, and I noticed a couple of men were sitting on the picnic tables there right outside the door. And when I locked it up, one of the men said, Brother Bob, could you come over here and talk to this fella? Well, there was a complete stranger sitting over there, and the guy that was talking to him was a member of our church. And I thought he was just witnessing to him. He just needs some help witnessing to the guy. That's what I thought. So I walked over there and introduced myself, shook his hand and everything. And a member of the church says, this guy here says that America's the Antichrist. And he says that this church is all a part of the Antichrist's plans. And first thing I thought to myself was, great. Here I am planning to go get Kentucky Fried Chicken, and here this fella is, and he's talking all kinds of nonsense, amen? And so I start talking to him and everything, and I mean, the guy is just irate. I mean, he's speaking loud, and he's getting out of control and all these things. Well, I had just taught on 1 John 4, because I had a young adult Sunday school class. And I just taught on 1 John 4, and so I thought to myself, well, now that Bible just now said, if that person can't confess that Jesus Christ is God, then it's not the Spirit of God. So I thought, well, I'll just put it right to the test then. So I looked at that guy, and I said, well, I got a question for you. And he's like, what's that? I said, can you confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh? And that guy looked at me, would not say a word. And I looked at him again. I said, can you confess right now that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh? That's all I want you to do. And if you can do that, we can keep on this conversation. He looked at me and still wouldn't. He didn't say anything bad, didn't say good. He just sat there and looked at me like an owl. And then I said, how about this? Here, repeat right after me. Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. He still wouldn't do it. And I told him, hit the road. And he did. What are you trying to say, Pastor? I'm trying to say your Bible's right.
That's right.
Your Bible's right. Why? Spirit of error won't be able to confess that. Spirit of truth will. Somebody comes up to you and says, I just don't believe Jesus Christ is God. You'd mark it off. That's spirit of error. Says it right there. It is the spirit of error. That is not the spirit of truth. That's not the Holy Spirit of God telling him that. That's unclean spirits telling him that. So that's the spiritual discernment test number one. That is confession test. I'll tell you another test that you might run to find out if it's of God or not, a spirit of God or not the spirit of God or a spirit of truth or a spirit of error, is the spiritual discernment test number two. And that's the popularity test. Look at verse 4. It says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. You know what I've noticed? I've noticed that if a person is sold out for the Lord Jesus Christ, a Christian is sold out for the Lord Jesus Christ, and he gets on TV and he starts talking about Jesus Christ, immediately I notice that the world wants nothing to do with them.
Nope.
Nothing to do with them. If a person on a football field gets down on his knees and prays, they start ridiculing him. Mm-hmm. You ever notice that?
Yeah.
You ever notice that if somebody, you know, let's say they win a big game and they start to give Jesus Christ the glory, yeah, immediately they're trying to cut him off to try to get him to talk about the game. You ever notice that? You ever notice that the world and Jesus Christ is not compatible?
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you something. If a person, now I'm not saying that everybody that's popular in the world is lost. I'm not saying that. But I am saying this. If a person is absolutely popular with the world and the world just loves them, do you think that it is the spirit of God that world is loving? Or the spirit of error? The spirit of truth or the spirit of error? The spirit of God or not the spirit of God? The God and the world are not compatible, folks. It's like oil and water. God, listen, there's enmity between God and the world, and the world doesn't like God. The world doesn't like Jesus Christ. They want nothing to do with Jesus Christ. If you don't believe it, go in the mall and start talking about Jesus Christ and see how many people scatter. It's ridiculous. In fact, a lot of Christians will scatter too, sadly, okay? But the world wants nothing to do with them. So if a person's popular with the world, that's the reason I'm just going to tell you right now that when a person stands up and says, I'm a Christian, I'm a Bible-believing Christian, but yet the world just loves them, immediately I'm thinking to myself, wait a second, I better look a little bit closer. Why? The world doesn't love Christians. The world doesn't love Jesus Christ. And I'm just going to tell you, if the world loves them and he's popular with the world, I'm not saying he's lost. I'm not saying he's a hypocrite. I'm not saying that he's wicked. I'm just saying that you might want to just check a little closer and see what kind of spirit we're dealing with here. Amen?
Amen.
Why? The Bible tells you right there. Popularity test. That's the second one. All right. A third one. This is the reading, believing, and obeying the Word of God test. I know that's a whole lot, but I didn't know how else to bring it in. Look at verse 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. When he says heareth us, you know what he's talking about? The things that they've been teaching. The things that are written in your Bible.
Yeah.
You know, the things that, for example, John wrote 1 John, right? John also wrote Revelation. He wrote 2 John, 3 John. He wrote the apostle or the Gospel of John. He wrote a lot of things in there. And he's saying this, if a person doesn't hear us and the things we've been saying, he's not of God. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. May I tell you today, when you show somebody the scriptures, and you say, you know, the Bible says that a person saved by grace and grace alone, trusting in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone, no works, no baptism, no church membership, none of that stuff. And that person says, well, I know what the Bible says, but I know what I believe. Sorry, spirit of error. It says it here. It says, if he heareth us, he's of God. The Bible says you must be born again. A person today says, well, I just believe that everybody's a child of God. Everybody, we're all coming from Adam. Sorry. You know what John said in John chapter 1? Those that receive Jesus Christ are the sons of God. You're not hearing what he said. Now, I'm not saying the person's not saved. He says, although I will say this, that person says, I don't believe that about the gospel. Yeah, they're not saved at all. Amen? I mean, either you believe the gospel or you don't. But listen, why do you think it says there in Galatians? It says that if any other man bringeth any other gospel other than that which is preached, that you've heard us preach, let it be accursed. Spirit of error, spirit of truth. It's right there. What I'm trying to say is this. If that Bible says something and you choose not to believe it, don't sit there and tell me it's the Holy Spirit of God showing you that. And believe me, there have been a lot of Christians that said that to me. Well, you know, I see what that scripture's saying right there, but maybe that's just the way you said the Holy Spirit told me something different. Nonsense. Okay? Nonsense. Holy Spirit of God is never going to tell you something contrary to the Word of God.
Right.
Ever. And I will say this, that doesn't mean I have a monopoly on the scriptures. Doesn't mean you have a monopoly on the scriptures. Doesn't mean I understand everything. I could be messed up in some of the things I believe. So can you. But what I am saying is this, is that when something says something point blank, like you're saved by grace, not of works, it doesn't matter what you believe. That's what it says. And if you believe something different than that, well, I'm supposed to discern between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, and you've got the spirit of error. Because the Bible is absolute truth. How many of you understand that this morning or tonight? So that's the reading, believing, and obeying the Word of God test. If you believe it's true, and you heareth what's being said, then that's the Spirit of God. Why? It's the Holy Spirit of God that teaches you the Scriptures.
That's right.
Amen? And so if you're reading there and he's teaching you it, and you can come and you can take that scripture and you can reconcile to other scriptures and you can understand it, you rightly divide it, that's the Spirit of God doing that. But beware, because the devil knows how to use those scriptures too.
That's right.
You don't believe it? Read over in Matthew chapter 4 when he tempted the Lord. You know what he tempted the Lord with? Scripture. Out of context, but scripture. Using just one verse to teach a doctrine. But scripture. What I'm trying to say is this, is people will try to use scripture, but if a person tells you something, and it may say it right there in that verse, and say, see, it says it right there in that verse. Yes, but if other verses disagree with it, then you need to reconcile that verse with those other verses. Right? I'll give you an example. In John chapter 3, it says you must be born of water and of spirit. It says that, right? You know what people say? Got to be baptized. There it is. That's it right there. Got to be born of water and spirit. Well, yeah. But what that person did is he just pulled the same move that the devil used inside the wilderness. He used one scripture to teach something that wasn't true. Listen, would you agree that the devil uses, obviously, he's using the spirit of error. Amen? That's what he did with the Lord in the wilderness. He used spirit of error. He tempted with scripture. That's what a person does. Now, if you take that same John chapter 3 and then you compare it with, well, the context that it's actually talking about, being born physical, a physical birth of the flesh, born of flesh and of spirit, physical, spiritual birth, being born physically, being born spiritually, being born again spiritually, then you understand that being born again the second time has nothing to do with water. That's your first birth. Amen? Now, you can compare other scriptures like and get that. For example, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10. You compare those scriptures with that scripture, and you know what you find out? To be born again, you must receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and believe he died, was buried, and rose again the third day. That's the spirit of truth. But what people will try to do is they'll try to use that scripture and then say, well, the Holy Spirit of God showed me this. A test of spirits. When somebody tells me, the Holy Spirit showed me this, first thing I'll say, well, let me see it. Because I want to see if the Holy Spirit told me the same thing. And if he didn't tell me the same thing, then one of us might have the spirit of error. It's either me or you. Let's find out who does, and that way we can stay straight. Amen? That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to try the spirits. Now, I'm just going to throw this out there too, that don't get all mad now when somebody shows you that what you believe isn't necessarily right. Why? Because the spirit of error can get any of us. The devil can deceive any of us. Amen? Don't get all mad and say, well, I can't believe everything I believe. He always shoots it down. No, it ain't that at all. That's what I'm saying. If you believe something different than me, let's look at the scriptures and see what it says, because we want to make sure we're both on the right page. Amen? Diligently watching out for the devil. Being vigilant. All right, so you have the reading, believing, obeying the Word of God test. That's test number three. And then test number four, and this is a big one, the love of the brethren test. In 1 John chapter 4, look at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. When a person wants to be around other Christians and have fellowship with other Christians, that's a sure sign that person might be saved. Now, I'm not going to say absolutely saved, because I believe today that there are people in churches that are sitting here that's unsaved that get along with Christians just fine. I do believe that. But I will say this, that if a person just absolutely cannot stand to be around a bunch of Christians, and the thought of coming to church and being around other Christians just drives him nuts, and he wants nothing to do with Christians at all, and he'd much rather hang around the world and worldly people, that person might want to check himself. Amen? Why? Because that's not the right spirit. That's not the right spirit at all. We need to make sure that we check to see if our love for the brethren. In fact, Jesus said this in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. It says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. Do you understand that one of the great tests to see if something is of God or not, and the spirit that you have is of God or not, the idea, the thoughts, and the attitude that you have, if it's of God or not, we're supposed to try the spirits. And you say, listen, am I thinking like I should be thinking? Am I thinking thoughts that glorify God? And are my thoughts pleasing to God? And the things I'm doing, is it pleasing to God? Well, to test the spirits. Test it and see. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you can honestly say tonight, listen, I can't stand to be around a bunch of Christians, you have a heart problem. And you're operating according to the spirit of error. Because God's people love one another. And I'll tell you this, I know God did it on purpose. You know why? We're going to be around each other forever. Amen? Listen, we better love each other if we're going to be around each other for eternity. Amen? God knows what he's doing. We're all, listen, and the thing it is, we all have the Holy Spirit of God, and that right there is, and God is love, by the way, so that means you have love inside of you.
Amen.
Amen. And we all have it, and therefore, because I have it, and Brother Billy has it, Sister Sharon has it, Brother Joe has it, Brother John has it, hey, listen, we all should love one another. I never said we had to like each other. We're to love each other. Amen? We're to love each other. And we should want to hang around each other more so than the people of the world. You know, and I'll say this, I'm going to close, I'll say this. One of the most depressing things that I read in the Bible, and it applies to me too, same as everybody else in here, but the fact that we have to be told the things, we have to be told to do certain things, that we've already got it in us not to do those things anyway. You ever think about that? We have to be told to forgive our brothers and sisters. We have to be told to do that. Don't we have the Holy Spirit of God inside of us?
Yes.
Why should we have to be told to do that? Because we don't always obey that spirit within us. We have to be told to love one another. We've already got that inside of each other. Amen? We have to be told how to treat each other. We have to be told to pray. My goodness, can you imagine that? Have to be told to pray as Christians? You know how many times we're told to pray? Tons. But yeah, we have to be told to read the Bible. We have to be told these things. We want to make sure that we're operating according to the spirit of truth, not the spirit of error. We want to make sure that we test the spirits. When somebody's telling you something about Scripture, when somebody's telling you about their day, they're telling you about this, that, test the spirits. If you're wondering if the life you're living is pleasing to God, test the spirits. And the Bible tells you how. Run it through those tests. Run it through it. Check it out and see if it don't work. It works every single time. Amen? All right, we'll go ahead and stop there.